I'm Henry Lin.
And I'm Barnett Zittrin.
And welcome to Better World.
Better World is an exploration of badass people doing really good things.
The more we know about this world, the better that we can do in changing it.
So welcome to Better World.
BZ.
What's up, dude?
My guy, how are you feeling?
Great. Welcome back.
I'm going to slip a stat in before we talk about Paris.
Okay.
That was opportunity for you to jump in, talk about Paris immediately and cut me off. I expected you.
Oh, I thought you were going to, say it and then I was going to interrupt you.
No, right. You were going to get me halfway through. That's even better than what you normally do.
Yeah. You know, I'm fresh off the plane.
Okay. So have you saved fashion yet and made it more sustainable?
No, it's a huge problem. As we know, it's the second largest polluter.
Yep.
Polluting industry. I don't think that is my problem to solve, though.
It's our problem to solve.
I mean, I do my part. I wear vintage. I buy things and I wear them over and over again, which means that I also use deodorant. My deodorant is all natural. Try and be plastic free. Like, it's all like a cascading effect
and
of how
I'll tell you on the next episode about Barnett's plans to lobby the fashion industry. But for now, 56 billion dun 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 coffee pods are thrown away and put into a landfill every single year. It's a hard number to reconcile, but I think it equates to about four Dallas Cowboy-sized stadiums worth of coffee pods every year. You know, the little things, Nespresso. Today, we have with us on the pod special guest star and co-host Emily.
Hey.
And none other than the CEO of Terra Cafe, the zero-waste coffee company, combating this pod epidemic, and also has decided that it's not a podcast today. It's a beancast. Sahan.
Hey.
Thanks for coming on the pod, man.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the beancast.
So tell us a little bit about Terra Cafe. You guys have a really, really incredible coffee maker that works on beans, not pods, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. So we're a new brand on the scene. We have a new super automatic espresso machine that brews anything from an espresso to a cappuccino at the push of a button and in under a minute. And the whole kind of thing we're trying to promote here and trying to convince people to have an opportunity to graduate away from their pod-based machines by offering them something that's bean to cup. So fresh whole beans in, yummy, delicious, natural stuff out.
Are you guys the future of the coffee industry because your machine looks so futuristic?
I would love to give you an easy yes to that. I would say that the short answer is yes, but the longer answer is we know that coffee is very complicated. There's a lot of places to get it, whether it's...
Well, there are four incumbents in your space, right? And it's sort of
in our category, space, yeah.
It hasn't been really disrupted.
Sorry?
Hasn't really been disrupted.
No. Very sleepy incumbents, haven't been doing anything, are around for an average of 104 years. So they've been on the scene for a while, and we don't ever denigrate anyone's legacy. We love that people have heritage. That's great. I'm all about that. But the thing that we are basically looking at is that nobody's really moving the needle on progressing things forward. So we saw the incumbents aren't really doing anything to innovate, and we wanted to jump in to kind of change that.
So who are the incumbents? I think that we should explain a little bit more, like what the
word incumbent means.
What is that? What is that? Are we talking politics? No, but like what it, you know, it's a coffee.
It's a type
machine,
of cucumber.
But also, like, what are some of the other brands out there in the space so that we have some context? Like Nespresso. I don't know. Is that one?
So Nespresso would be an incumbent brand, but they're the incumbent pod players, right? So you have Nespresso and Keurig, which are kind of like the big two duopoly that we have on the market, Nespresso being the one that's espresso-based, which we're seeing categorically people are looking for more espresso-based options.
What's the difference between espresso and coffee?
Oh, man. Here we go.
Yeah. I'm just winding you up, man. Slow-moving softballs. Come on.
Buttering me up. The difference really is the extraction method, right? So how you would do, drip coffee would be the ratio of water to coffee, the amount of pressure that you're putting the coffee grinds under. Sorry, I'm always shifting left and right here.
Just dancing.
Yeah, no, man. I get excited. But when you're talking about espresso coffee, I love it because when we talk to people, we're like, we find ourselves often going too much into the science of it, which is ever changing. But standard, what you would, you know, most often hear is it's 9 bar pressure, you know, 18 grams in, 60 mils out. Mm. But again, if you are especially coffee roaster and you hear this right now, everyone's raising their hand and saying, whoa, it's 16 grams in, it's 42, 43 out over 60 seconds, over 30 seconds. And this
so many it's the process, not as much as like a differentiation in the bean. Are certain beans better for espresso than they are for coffee?
100%. Yeah. You do often find that people are always going for darker roasted coffee when it comes to espresso blends. So you're going to get these really, really kind of like dark beans, but that's also changing because people are realizing that's tantamount to drinking a cigarette. So they're not so keen on that. Everyone's going more medium roast right now. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of education
happening. Dark roast because the carcinogens from roasting that long are bad for you.
You're roasting out all of the positive elements of the coffee. I mean, it's a fruit, right?
Right.
So you're taking out
the
sugars.
It's a fruit. It's grown on a tree, comes in a little husk. So it has like a little berry and there's bean in the middle.
So yeah. What is the healthiest way to consume coffee?
The healthiest way?
Yeah.
Without milk and sugar.
Ba-doom-ba. Really? Lined them up. You're like, I asked for that one.
Okay.
I want to rock.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you like espresso is like the way to consume it. It is, of course, going to be different in terms of the acidity and, you know, the amount of caffeine you're putting into your system. So there's, you know, cold brew, which is, you know, if you just want to get jacked up,
right,
that's the way to do it.
Right. Hook it to my veins.
Mainline. Yeah.
Right.
But
I had a cold brew once. My really old girlfriend, who's now a mom, Alexa Greenstadt, thought I was on coke at 1 o'clock in the afternoon in downtown LA. Can't drink cold brew.
You also can't do coke.
Also, can't even have amphetamines, and those were prescribed at one point.
No, you should just stay away from all of that.
Cold brew downers, right?
How do you feel about cold brew? Does it like fit
it's
within?
It's so funny. Coffee purists hate it so much.
Yeah, they do.
And
right?
I do not at all. I think it's kind of nice. I think it's kind of.
You think it's like a flavor, you know, just give it a whirl.
It's smooth. It's easy to drink. It gets you perked up. Like,
sure.
I have nothing against it, but I know a lot of people that are like, ooh, cold brew? Like, no, sorry. We flash freeze our coffee. We brew it hot. And then we do, you know, like, there's the kind of like an elitist aspect to the whole thing. Like, we do it right, you do it wrong.
Right. But cold brew is generally not as good for you as something like a medium roast bean.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. So
Are pods bad?
Pods?
Other than the trash that they make. But you just in terms of the coffee, why isn't it as good?
It's funny when we talk to people about this and we just want to hear kind of very like in a like casual setting, like just talk me through why you hate pods. Because when we talk to
56
people,
billion.
It's so visceral. It's right. So like, oh my God, like
I
why
know you're making trash.
Why are you even making amounts. Me explain it?
It's the other straw.
Right. It's basically like a no-brainer. People look at me like, are you stupid? And I'm like, no, I know why. I just want to hear you
But
tell
does
me.
The coffee taste different?
The coffee is brewed completely different. So the ratio of 6 grams in with an espresso pod and having 60 mils out, that's just bad math. That doesn't.
Got it.
But ultimately, you know, different pods have different profiles and there's different blends. But the coffee quality itself is inferior. The way, you know, you're having something that was ground 6 months to over a year ago, and then you're trying to convince people to introduce aluminum and plastic into the equation when it's completely unnecessary. I mean, coffee has been around for what, centuries, right?
Yep.
It wasn't in pod form
millennia
in Turkey in the 1600s. So I think that we've been drinking coffee perfectly fine without it. It's actually really funny because when they started, pods were pitched as the environmentally friendly solution. They were like, oh, the old adage is the biggest consumer of coffee in the U.S. is the kitchen sink. So you would dump everything out.
Well, it was also like tied to like other like water usage. I remember it was like greenwashed for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Like not in a cool way.
Emily, do you drink coffee?
I love coffee. I feel like pods are kind of... people go for them because they're convenient, though. So, what is your solution to that when people ask you?
Oh, yeah. Actually, take us through the brewing process. How does the machine work?
I mean, the machine does it all, right? We make it as simple as possible. So, the exact same feature set form factor that you're getting from pushing one button and having the machine do everything for you. That's what we wanted to provide specifically because we knew how important convenience was. Right. We weren't willing to compromise on that. And there's all sorts of reasons why it can be fun to have slow coffee and do everything manually. It's dirty, it's slow, it's kind of, you know, you feel very DIY. But at the end of the day, we knew if we wanted to make an impact, we had to make it convenient. So the machine itself has a stainless steel conical burr grinder in it. It feeds the beans through the grinder. So it does the grinding, tamping, extracting, and also automates milk frothing. Because we know that the majority of Americans, they don't take espresso straight.
Right.
They're taking it with some form of texturized milk. So cortado, latte, cappuccino, flat white, whatever.
So that's your primary differentiator from the Cuisinarts on the market?
Yeah.
As opposed to just the one drip, you have all of this different functionality for how it's processed.
We have the different functionality. We have the different coffee drink settings. So you can do the Americanos, the lattes, and so on.
Right.
But we also wanted to make it so you can customize it exactly the way that you like it. So whether that's a double shot, a single shot, changing the temperature, changing the volume of the coffee, you know, we wanted people to be able to modify it exactly to their preferences. But we wanted to make it as simple as possible. And everything we saw out there on the market was prohibitively expensive, incredibly ugly, and funnily enough, even with the name automatic, was super, super complicated.
Interesting. So you believe that providing this experience of convenience, really good coffee, you know, the cafe in your home, ultimately we're going to get people to switch away from pods because they will just wake up to the fact that it is a lesser form of coffee.
Exactly. I mean, there's a few reasons, right? Like pods just suffer from so many Achilles heels. The primary one is the environmental component. Like people just are sick of this. You're seeing it across multiple industries, be it, like you said, like...
Straws
and deodorants and any type of CPG product. Everybody's trying to find a solution so that we can stop just the proliferation of plastic
and single uses, right? Yeah.
And this is just out of control and it's completely unnecessary. And we're trying to prove to people that it is unnecessary and there can be an alternative.
Amazing. We are going to take our first commercial break.
Commercials are the best. I don't know where I'm
recorded
going.
Commercial break.
I don't know where I'm going
with our music. Do you want me to like lay down a beat for you? How's this
going to
go?
I don't know. I'm going to like a really experimental like sound artist concert at the Shed.
Oh,
after this, yeah.
Okay, Hudson Yards.
Yeah, where all the Chinese tourists.
It is
come.
Not sponsored by the Shed.
Not anymore.
It is sponsored by SmileRadio.fm. Dun, 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 dun.
Thank you, Smile.
Come check out Elfcast. Some of the other really, really great shows that are also on Smile Radio. Thank you for hosting us, Smile Radio.
And thank you for also being a restaurant group that has amazing chicken.
That has amazing vegan options as well.
Right.
Can I ask you a question?
And we're back. No, you're doing great.
Yes, you can.
May I ask a question?
Okay, yeah. You may ask multiple as you've...
You want our media kit? It costs $10,000 to sponsor an episode.
100 million.
I'm sorry, I'll let you
always
finish.
Be selling.
Yeah.
How much do you think that people genuinely care about these things that we're talking about, whether it be the environmental component? Like one of the biggest pushbacks I have is that people like to believe that they care.
But I thought that was going to be a much worse question.
I think there's data that you'll get through running your business. And you'll see that certain segments do care. Like me, I care.
Well, we also see a prolific amount of commerce now that is related to these solutions.
But part of, and you and I have talked about this many times with people on the show, that like part of it is what differentiates like a successful business in this like world of eco is that the actual product is great. Right. And that doesn't, that's
right.
Not
it's
an
a
ego
premium
thing.
Product.
That's a product thing.
Right.
But I mean, clearly we've established our business on the macro thesis that people do care. What I'm curious about is that do they genuinely care? And is there so much misinformation that it becomes difficult to make a
Yes, greenwashing is prolific. Nespresso itself has done several environmental campaigns trying to help out the farmers.
What's the first thing they say when you walk in their store? Have you heard about a recycling program? Not look at our selection and how great the coffee tastes. Do you know about our recycling? But in reality, everybody that is informed about that knows that that's a net negative impact on
the
environment.
I don't understand to this day the economics that make it make sense to go out the long tail I mean, I do understand them and I fucking hate them, but I refute them. Rather than just innovating and completely changing your model. So why wouldn't gas and oil companies, for example, just bite the bullet now? Rather than being forced by governments to shut down. You know, and just,
we would rather obfuscate the truth through marketing and get you to just continue to do what
I read in the New York Times that they spend 2% on renewables when they could be spending 50, 60% migrating and becoming the leaders in the space.
Or they wait until government provides subsidies to make it worth their while. But the other thing
is that existed, no? Like that would, the subsidies are there.
They're there. Sure, I mean, but the economies are there. But you're right.
They could always be better.
They could,
You know, and I think the other thing is that to an extent, consumers who care about eco lifestyles or whatever and making changes in their life, that's great. I think more adoption happens if the products that are mass distributed are just like baseline better for the world. Like, it doesn't always need to be an eco wash or greenwash marketing campaign. It should just be like, Terra Cafe is a better machine to make coffee.
Zero waste coffee.
Better.
The coffee's delicious.
Maybe these are some other benefits.
But we could still do more. You could say that we're doing the same thing, right? Like, you know, we want to do everything that we can, but we're just starting out. But someone could say, look, you can make your machine so it lasts for 100 years. And we know that at this stage.
Well, there is more that you guys can do. And it's something that we have been working on in a partnership with you guys that I think is a great segue into it. Better Worlds has been very interested in better circle economies. So the idea of a company that does good socially, environmentally, and economically, so that, you know, it makes money for it fucking self, its investors and everybody else. But this idea that your entire supply chain in some capacity has a positive effect. And one of the ways in which we're partnering to that end is to create a coffee that is grown in agroforestry. So farmers are retrained from growing cow and soy, which is the majority of why the Amazon is being burned right now, to grow coffee, cacao, cascara, which is the tea from the coffee husk, and trees themselves. And the idea of purchasing a bag of coffee from an agroforestry microlot farmer is very different from an industrial farmer because you're retraining that person, giving them a better option, having a positive social impact, and you're creating an economy that allows for a shift from something bad, as well as by virtue of the fact that you're selling the coffee, you're effectively, the more coffee you sell, the more trees you plant.
And this is really important because everything is connected, right? So like aspects of our immigration problem in this country are tied to fact that
famine, drought,
monocultural farming has like, oh my God, that was amazing. Sorry.
We are on the corner of 24th and Lexington, breaking news.
And
a garbage truck, or was that like a laundry truck?
It's literally like, it's literally pieces of plastic in plastic bags.
Dude, you're raising kids on screens, man. Yeah. That is a tangent on tangent. That is definitely foreshadowing.
Well, anyway, back to the ad.
The world saving stuff that we were talking about, right?
Everything is connected. And shout out to Jacob Soboroff, MSNBC, for covering this. I hope I'm not letting the cat out of the bag, but he's been spending a lot of time in Guatemala covering this story and the interconnectivity between the environment, between
Cal government, economics, a lifetime of 10
immigration,
years,
yeah,
all the fishing grass,
and then they can no longer farm, so they are forced to move into the cities.
Yep.
It is poverty and crime in the city, so they are then forced to migrate. It is a full cycle solution. You're absolutely correct.
And then adding in the mix that some of the only viable businesses in these countries are the drug cartels. So you're adding on layers of crime that make not only poor, but dangerous.
Right.
So some people just have to leave.
Basically, you can improve the situation of the locals there through economic prosperity, right?
Right. And economic prosperity, that's better for the environment, which is better for economic prosperity.
So tell us a little bit about the coffee position that you guys are taking, because I know we've talked about it briefly, but you are going to start a market at some point, perhaps even white label your own brand, but, you know, dig a little vertically, get a little agroforestry in your veins?
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, we realize that, like, providing the hardware solution is great, but we're in a situation, we're in an environment where people are trying to discover coffee. They're trying to explore, become more aspirational in consumption in a way that we can not only expand our business, but become a bigger advocate for what we're promoting is also having a coffee subscription marketplace.
Right.
And so we think it's important for people to have a go-to destination that provides them amazing selection of sustainably sourced coffee, right. Which even in of itself is funny.
It's a differentiator from the pods once again.
It's a differentiator from the pods, but even more so than that, I care about educating in the sense that what does it mean to be sustainably sourced? Again, going back to the misinformation side of things, I feel like...
We got another one. We got to get a gong. Whenever one of these messages that we have been saying for so long, like the education of sustainably sourced, you know, when somebody as a guest comes in and has been like, hey, I've been working on this too, we're just going to smack the gong.
Boom.
Yeah.
Done.
Love it. Back to his point. I mean, you just rudely interrupted him.
You're absolutely right.
Prolific and like...
I don't even know what you're talking about.
What I'm saying.
Henry, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Like,
there's a monkey behind you. Look at the monkey.
So, as I was saying... The important thing here is that what does it mean for a farmer to get 90 cents a pound on coffee, right? Like, what does it actually do to them? Why are there so many articles that are coming out right now saying that this is not a sustainable price point for people who is actually taking into consideration the entire supply chain that we're actually considering the position that they're in? And so for us, it is an interesting task because I think a lot of people shy away from it because it is not the easiest, it's not the cheapest to go through the process of trying to spread, disseminate, whatever, all of this information about what is actually in the best interest of the farmers as well as your daily routine. It affects both. Eventually it will. In the long tail of all of this, it will. And so for us, it's more important that we create a marketplace that actually promotes the right brands, that promotes the right coffee roasters, that promotes the people that are actually doing that heavy lifting. So that consumers have a trusted source that they can go to. Because I think that they're, again, it's just very complicated. I think it's becoming increasingly difficult in today's environment to make a good choice, even if you want to. So you might have the motivation to do it, but ultimately are still supporting and promoting the brands that are really just hurting the growth of society and making us do the, you know, decisions that are better for all stakeholders.
Right.
So
I think that this is an awesome position. And to, you know, recap, you guys are combating this zero waste coffee initiative from a number of different angles. You're bringing the cafe into the home. So now we're not using disposable cups at, you know, the shitty disposable cups. Shout out to Starbucks. Sorry. I was like, I'm really throwing them under the bus over here. We are also making pods, which are less desirable in terms of taste and quality, look significantly less desirable with an array of coffee and a multitude of decisions and choices with different flavors that you can make. And you've made it extremely convenient to get multiple types of coffee.
And it would be the right time, wouldn't you say? Like, it's the right time to try and bring out a new brand. Like, that, at least I feel that way. Yeah,
Any of these things, right? For anywhere where there is a company that is essentially net bad, having some type of harm, whether it be socioeconomic or whether it be environmental, it's time for new emerging brands.
I'm not saying we're doing everything perfectly. Like, to get to where we're at today, we've definitely had to say, okay, we're going to focus on one thing and we're going to tackle the other things later. But I think it's the time that people actually understand that and are willing to back the brands that saying, look, I'm committed to X. The mission, the vision of the brand itself is more a conduit to execute on a given mission that is something that people can get behind. And even if you don't have the end-to-end perfect solution today, you understand that your dollars are going towards supporting that. And I think that's why the timing seemed right. I felt like people just unequivocally were looking for something new.
Right.
And that's where I figured I would make the leap in this respect. I mean, forget what I was doing beforehand. I was doing a lot of stuff in hardware before and was also, I was in electric vehicles. So kind of like clean mobility And it, you know, it shared a lot of different notes of what we're doing right now. Right. But I basically was like, okay, this is my springboard. And I think the timing is perfect. And I had that little trifecta of, okay, I'm passionate about it. I have the team that can do this. And I think there's the opportunity. I think the timing was right. And yeah, like
awesome.
we're early in the story. I know that. But I think that so far the reception has been amazing.
That's incredible to hear.
Yeah.
From the consumer side, investor side, literally all sides.
Yeah, yeah. I think everyone gets the roadmap and they're excited about it.
Good.
No doubt we have some Goliaths. We have a little David and Goliath thing kind of happening here with the Nespressos of the world.
Emily loves a David and Goliath story. She told me last time.
Sure
yesterday.
Did.
After.
Everyone does, right? Like the underdog story.
I actually have a question for you.
Please.
So obviously all of these emerging brands are starting to pop up in the workplace and food and beverage accounts.
Mm.
Do you have a plan for that and how you could maybe pop into WeWorks and other, like maybe some of these accounts that to expand?
Yeah. I mean, sorry, I hear WeWork today and my mind goes to a million different places.
Right. I love you, Adam.
Oh man. But yeah, no, undoubtedly, like I said, like when it comes to coffee, how you consume it, if you even go to like one, like if I go to you and I'm like, how did you have coffee today and how are you going to have it tomorrow? It's very seldom that it's exactly the same. Like you're going to have it at a cafe and there's a social component on the weekends and whatnot. Like we know that if we have this mission, there are many different channels that we want to be present in to be an advocate for our mission and actually have an impact. So we definitely want to basically enter into more of this like B2B environment down the road.
Right.
And we've incorporated that
and
into
strategic the partner.
Yeah.
Right.
But we basically have been looking at what are the low hanging fruits in those categories, whether it be in the office space,
beans.
Hospitality. Sorry?
The low hanging beans.
The low hanging beans.
Bean fruits.
The bean fruits.
Did you know that bean is actually a misnomer?
Is it really?
Yeah, because it's a seed. It's a fruit.
It's a fucking seed.
And so everyone's like, this is actually a coffee seed.
Oh my
God. Not
a
bean. But I'm not. See, this is what happens because we do coffee tastings and we serve cups of coffee to people. Then they're like, oh, so like, what's an espresso shot? Or like, what's the difference between double and single? And I'm like, I need to like pump the brakes on all the shit that runs through my brain because if I try and walk through all the science of it or the specificity, I think I've lost them within like 3 seconds. Like, mm-hmm.
You could definitely be Bill Nye of the coffee community.
That's not a bad.
It's not a bad look.
It's not a bad aspiration, if
no,
nothing else.
Right.
Like, you know, if something to aspire to, I don't hate it, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be game for that. I don't know if other people get behind that, but
Barnett will get behind it.
I think it has a time and a place. Maybe on your website for SEO purposes.
That's as close as we're going to get to any idea that I throw out there.
No, I mean that for real. Like, I think that there's a time and a place and a channel for all of that stuff, you know?
You know, and I think that it's cool because a lot of times we have these conversations that, like, create a lot of tacit knowledge in our company that, like, I'm not going to run through every conversation I have, but I had a lot of meetings with people that have been, like, they're like suppliers for office coffee. And they're like, we love it. Nobody wants pods anymore because those guys monopolize their whole system. They keep all the money for themselves. It's very advantageous and intentionally structured so that they hold control. And so now they're like, every time we have a new office space and they're like, hey, we want some options for coffee, which is, by the way, the number two biggest value driver for office suppliers. It's paper.
Right.
And then it's coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm looking at that obviously for us as an opportunity, but we basically are listening to these guys saying everybody is looking for alternatives and we haven't really found something that's obvious. Like, we've had a few times where we had a conversation with someone, they're like, yeah, but we have something like this. And I'm like, yeah, what's the name? They're like, I have no fucking clue. Mm-hmm. Like, fantastic. You don't even know what the brand is. It doesn't work well. Half the people in the office don't touch it because it's intimidating and
right.
They feel overwhelmed by it. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
There's no brand that people can get behind. There's not a functionality and a use case that actually meets the convenience needs of users. So if you take that all into consideration, there's a lot of space here to come up with something different. And we're just kind of in the early days of like, okay, we have something that we're proud of. We put it out into the market. Let's get all of the user feedback. Let's keep improving on this. And then let's launch the marketplace.
On our coffee seeds.
Boom, boom, boom.
I think we might have to call it Climate Seed. I like that. It's a great name.
Airport lounges.
Oh, wow. Mm. We have to cut to a commercial break. Our final one for the day, pre-recorded.
Who it is? Who we thanking?
We are thanking today none other than ourselves. We're announcing that this podcast was sponsored by the launch of none other than Better World Coffee. We are more likely than not going to put it under a pseudonym, a pen name. It depends on how Barnett feels about, you know, our branding game. But we have partnered with the folks down in Nicaragua at Buenas Vibras and Nica France for agroforestry microlot coffee. That is coffee that is grown, though coffee is grown on a tree, but it is grown in areas where they are growing tree and forest-related goods. So things like coffee, cacao, and trees, but ultimately nuts, superfoods, lemons, even cows. You can raise cows in the forest, it turns out. There's a very specific type of cow. So Better World Coffee, for every bag you buy, we are basically planting more fucking trees and helping farmers be retrained from growing cows and soybeans, the number one feeder for cows and cattle, to agroforestry products. Check it out on betterworld.media and it's better.world. And shout out to our good friends here at Terra Cafe who are also helping us as they are going to be, knock wood, here, watch me knock it, the new coffee aficionados in the coffee marketplace in the world. It's a big ask.
So welcome back. Sacred. That was the longest commercial break ever.
I really wish you were supportive of our coffee or of me.
I'm both.
Unclear. That first off, I think that we haven't really heard about your coffee routine, which is something that I find fascinating. So I would like to hear about your coffee routine before we get into the five things that you can do. But this little segment should be called How Does Barnett Take It?
Wow, you totally won on that one. It depends on the month and
it's
time
not
of year.
Winning or losing. Okay, let's start with winter.
So starting around now, because sure, it's fall, the weather is turning. We do a French press.
Okay,
we mix up our coffee, but usually it is Stumptown.
Okay, soon to be Better World.
Soon to be Better World. And actually, the coffee that we sourced was markedly better tasting. So there's a, and then in the summer we do cold brew ourselves.
Okay,
yeah,
amazing.
We also go to Devotion, which is a great coffee brand.
You love that place.
Yeah,
I've met you there many times.
There's another place in Borum Hill called Single Origin, which is great. Okay. I try not to go to Blue Bottle, but you know
why? Too hip?
It's like drinking Pepsi.
Okay. Who hasn't been to Blue Bottle?
But yeah, like you can't
avoid it.
Not it.
Disney of the coffee world.
Sellouts. Maybe. I don't know. They should be on the show.
We'll holler at them.
You know, do you know the origin story of that?
Of selling it to PepsiCo?
No. The origin story of Blue Bottle.
No.
He basically saw a really cool outline of a dragonfly in Tokyo. I think it was either Tokyo or some Japanese city. Mm-hmm. And then he walks into the alleyway that's adjacent to that little drawing. And then there's a door with a red light over it, I think. And then it's just the outline of the dragonfly again. And he walks in and it's like the coolest bar he's ever seen. And it's like his whole thing. That's why they don't write Blue Bottle anywhere. And it's just the logo for him. It was like this like understated, subtle, you know, attention to detail brand, which is essentially just saying he really liked cool things, which is fine. That's in and of its own right an admirable thing, I guess.
That origin story is unbearably hip.
It's too much.
So
is it too much?
It's too much.
It's just too much.
It's a great story. Who knows if it's true?
You're giving it to our guests now too. It's nice. No one is safe. It's like South Park in here.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Everyone,
but I do, everyone has like, I do take issue with some origin stories. Like, you know, I had this moment of contemplation, reflection, introspection, and then I made a new sneaker. And you're like, I dig it. Or like a new pair of pants. Like, I'm fine with you having an outlet for that. But I don't know that we assign the right amount or like the appropriate amounts of like
think that you
you're gonna disagree with me right
no
now.
I yeah. agree with you, and I think that you know, you're a CEO and a founder, and sometimes in the moment in a meeting the origin story might tweak a little bit. People who have like had a history of like starting new projects and,
or
new businesses, like that tends to change based on how you read the room, because how you read the room is one of your core skill sets, you know?
Yeah. You gotta like check the temperature.
Yeah. So like maybe dragonfly today, horsefly tomorrow. I don't know.
Before Barnett's checking the temperature.
I don't know.
Woof. What are some of the things that we can do as individuals to have an impact and create change? You mentioned a couple of them, which I think are really interesting. So one, we should definitely shy away from pod-related coffee and from anything that has a single-use product related to our coffee. We now have the ability to have a cafe in our own home with multiple types of coffee in through multiple processes and through multiple beans and multiple flavors and lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. So no pods being the big one, but what are some of the other things that you think the average consumer can do to change things up?
Is this me right now?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, there's quite a lot, no? Like
vegan milk.
Be it the milk you use. Yeah, sure. You can also look at this, but like the amount of water you use, the amount that you're consuming things in general, like you were talking about all the different products you're buying in general. Like there's so many different things that depend.
You mentioned that earlier, the idea that certain coffee products, and granted we had just made a plug for Better World and we'll make a plug again. Certain coffee products are made in a way which is sustainable, economically beneficial for the end grower, and more environmentally sound. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the companies that you feel we should be wary of?
Wary?
Yeah.
So you want me to disparage some brands right now?
Oh, yeah. Let's go trash them.
Oh, man.
Okay. We can go the other direction. You can tell us the brands that you like that are doing it.
I can do both. I think that for quality concerns, I would have reticence to go out and like buy like Starbucks branded coffee. And I know that's really easy to take shots at, and everyone does, and they do certain things okay. And a lot of people also are coming to their defense to give them credit. But at the end of the day, like, you know, and it disgustingly dark roasted Sumatran bean with like the oiliest coffee you've ever seen is just very beneath where we're at right now, whether it be Q graded coffee or just general, like the taste profile, mouthfeel of that is not what I would expect most people to be buying into. I think that's collectively understood. I don't know that. Maybe that's me in my own little bubble, but I feel like for the most part, that is kind of a trailing, you know, in the rearview mirror, like people were all about that. And for the most part, we moved on. But
do you have a favorite reusable cup?
Sorry?
Do you have a favorite reusable cup?
Like a to-go cup or something?
Like you drink coffee at home because
I do love a good cafe form cup.
Okay.
See. Which is a Berlin company, which is a little shameless little plug for me about how much I love Berlin.
Me too.
He's playing in.
Mm-hmm. Sorry?
Me too.
Yeah. We're about to get into the Dungeons of Berghain here with Barnett. Yeah.
Not Udo the dungeons. I don't hang on the dungeons of it. That's too much for me.
Which is even like a silly thing, because I feel like even Berliners would get annoyed at the promotion of Berlin.
Like, yeah, they do. They're like, please, no more.
Don't talk about this.
Yeah. Go away.
Yeah. But in any case, I think that, you know, being over there, I feel like also gave me a little bit of, it kind of grounded me, to be honest with you. I feel like it helps you have perspective on a lot of stuff.
Stay away from the 56 billion coffee pots that are thrown away each year, and get grounded in Berlin.
And try and go plastic free with your coffee. It is one of the easier things that you can do and change, because there's so much crossover between the eco culture and coffee culture. So like, just do it, you know?
Second biggest commodity in the world.
Yeah, there we stop go. Messing around. We can do this. We can do this.
There we go. Guys, really, really killing it. Well, thank you for coming. Sahant, it was a pleasure. I'm Henry Lin.
Thank you, man.
And I'm Barnett Zidrin.
And Emily, thank you too.
Thanks, Emily.
Welcome to Better World. See you later, Better World. Be a better world. Love us at Better World.
Better.world.